Welcome back to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. As always, I'm your host, Kyle Senra, and yeah, it's our first episode of 2023. Didn't miss January because we're technically recording this on January 31st, so didn't miss, basically we've been out for a whole month though, and in time to preview the Super Bowl. So joining me for this episode, since the Chiefs did in fact make it to the Super Bowl, is Full Press Chiefs Managing Editor, Brayton Holacek. How you doing?
I'm doing really well, Kyle. Thanks for having me on. It's always great to interact with you. You have a lot of great insights and just really like a lot of your takes on the game. So really excited to be here.
Likewise. I mean, you do so much great work for Full Press Coverage, the constant articles on fullpresscoverage.com. And for anyone who doesn't check out the Full Press Coverage YouTube page, Brayton's on usually every Sunday in the mornings with our big boss at Full Press Coverage, Ian Glendon, and you two do a fantastic job on those Sunday morning streams.
Thank you.
Congrats on the Chiefs making the Super Bowl. Packers didn't even make the playoffs, although we all knew that. Luckily, folks, we won't talk much about the Packers, even if this is a Packers pod. But yes, really, well, you know, Aaron Rodgers being traded, but that's not really any news, right? Like, we've been talking about that for 2 years. So is that really any breaking news? But that's basically the only Packers news right now is the rumors swirling around of where Rodgers can go. And yeah, I'm sure we'll definitely touch on that as once the playoffs are done. But we still have one football game left to go. So Chiefs-Eagles, you must be excited for this.
Yeah, it's there's just a lot of, I think, really good, wholesome headlines. I think that immediately stand out. Andy Reid, with the win over the Bengals, became got the second most wins among head coaches in playoff history, and now gets to face his old team after he was with Philadelphia for 14 years. So I think a coach that's had that much success getting that opportunity is really exciting with how rare that is. And then, of course, Travis Kelce, Jason Kelce, the first players that'll be brothers to square off in the Super Bowl. So whoever wins will get their second Super Bowl ring compared to the other brother. And I think the young quarterback talent also really impressive. Jalen Hurts obviously kind of came out of nowhere for some people, and Patrick Mahomes, you know, even with losing Tyreek Hill, looks like he's gonna get a really good chance to win his second MVP. So just a lot of really exciting headlines, I think, that immediately stand out.
To the mark on Mahomes, and I've been saying this kind of for years now, and I definitely said it this year, even with losing Tyreek Hill, I still thought he would be the best quarterback in the NFL. I still predicted he would lead the league in passing touchdowns. I was correct about both of those because I still think he is the best quarterback in the NFL. It's funny because I thought Burrow might be the second best quarterback, or at least at the very worst, I think you'd probably say he's the third best. And I thought the ankle injury Mahomes suffered during the divisional round going into the AFC Championship game, the fact that he wasn't 100%, would that be enough for Burrow to overtake it? Against most other quarterbacks, he'd probably fare okay, but maybe Burrow and the Bengals were the one team where he really couldn't afford to be injured. And I mean, it came right down to the wire, 23-20, kick it basically as time expires. So it was close. It certainly could have gone either way, but even with the injury, it looked like Mahomes still showed why he's the best.
Yeah, and I think the biggest difference maybe in this matchup with the Bengals compared to the other three where Cincinnati was victorious, I thought the Chiefs were a lot better in situational football, both sides of the ball on third down. Obviously, they got four sacks pretty early. Chris Jones, I think, had, I want to say, two sacks. Frank Clark had 1.5, who he's kind of a player that regular season is maybe just a big warm-up, and he just seems to find his groove in the playoffs more than anything. And then you look at the third down offense for the Chiefs in this game. I thought they did a really good job just protecting Mahomes for the most part. He did have to kind of run and scramble when the Bengals did make some good coverage down the field. But I thought for the most part they kind of did better in situational football. I was really worried on that 4th-and-1 where they went for it early in the game and it ended up being a touchdown pass to Travis Kelce. It's kind of weird how much they've really struggled in short yardage situations, and they just decided to kind of throw it down the field within that 15-yard line. So I think that situational football was the biggest difference in Kansas City finally executing there against Cincinnati.
The third and short struggles this year, I think they were 31st in conversions on 3rd-and-1 this year. What was the reason for that? Was it were they being unsuccessful in the run game? Were they refusing to run and just trying to pass all the time and leading incompletions? Like, what did you think seeing them this year was the biggest reason that they didn't have success on 3rd-and-short?
I think mostly it might just be pretty vanilla play calling. I think there's not a lot of substance to their short yardage run play calls where they just really try to pound it up the middle. They did use the fullback Michael Burton early in the season, who was pretty successful last year, but didn't have that success this season. And then even with some of the power that Isaiah Pacheco has, it just seems like he's still trying to figure out maybe how to read the field and kind of read blocks here and there. So I think it's a little bit of a mix of that and just maybe not always having the confidence necessarily. I think Patrick Mahomes has talked about he's still a fan of the quarterback sneak, but since he had that freak injury a few years ago, that's kind of out of the playbook for the Chiefs right now. So it's kind of that weird dynamic where they're almost too vanilla, I think, with their play calling in those areas.
I mean, I know you never want to take Mahomes off the field, but could you just have Chad Henne do a QB sneak? I'm sure he knows how to.
That's a good point. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Sometimes they'll do the tight end sneak where Noah Gray or Blake Bell, if he's active, will kind of shift in behind the center. And for the most part, I think that's worked. But you've seen a lot of other teams kind of pick that up, and it becomes a little bit more predictable for defenses as well.
Yeah, because when you bring Chad Henne in, you know they're not throwing it. There's no ways they're going to take Mahomes out of the game to then throw it. So you know they're running it, and they're probably running the QB sneak. I know my mentality is, you know, CFL background a little bit, where most teams in the CFL, you know, in a bit of a different context, you know, the neutral zone is 1 yard in the CFL. So the defense is lined up an entire yard away from the offensive line. So the ability to gain 1 yard is pretty automatic. Like most seasons, like teams on third and one are usually about 70%. And again, three down. So third and one is really like fourth and one in the CFL. But teams just constantly go for it, even from their own side of half, just because they know it's almost automatic they'll get it. But a lot of teams will bring in their backup quarterback to do it. And they don't mind telegraphing it because it's so tough to stop. Even though the other team knows it's coming, it's so difficult to stop it that you don't mind you're telegraphing it. In the NFL, not having that one neutral zone line of buffer, that one full yard of between the offensive defense, that makes it more difficult. And if you do get predictable, it can give them the edge they need. So I was kind of half joking when I said it, but you know, Andy Reid's pretty creative. I'm sure he can find a creative way to get Chad Henne into a QB sneak formation without looking like it's a QB sneak formation. I don't know.
Yeah, I think back to some of the they obviously had that snow globe play this year against the Raiders, and I think it was Super Bowl 54 against the Niners. They kind of did this play. They, I guess, found it was like a former Rose Bowl play back in like the 1940s or 50s, where like the quarterback, two running backs, and the tight end were on the backfield, and they kind of shifted and did a direct snap to Damian Williams, I think it was at that time. So I think it's sometimes just Andy Reid finding anything he can from football history, whether that's NFL or college, and sometimes that seems to be you know, more easy for them than what you would think with the kind of just pounding it up the middle every time.
Well, and speaking of, you know, pounding up the middle, you mentioned earlier Isaiah Pacheco, and I wonder if, just like you said, maybe one of the reasons he fell in the draft, went undrafted, seventh round pick, but maybe one of the reasons he went so late is teams not sure about the mental side. Okay, could he come in and make the reads right away? Does he have the vision to follow his blocks and get those seams right away when we need him to, you know, running backs, you want to use them up on your rookie contract. So I do wonder if now he's had a whole season of NFL experience under his belt, if next year Pacheco, we're going to see like a better version of him. Chiefs could also just get done the running back too. Like, that's not out of the question. It'd be really easy to overdraft him, like draft a player earlier this year than he did last year. Not to say that just because someone's a sixth round rookie this year that they beat out the seventh round pick from the previous year. But it is one of those things where do you find Pacheco improved to the season to the point where you think there'll be a step up as a sophomore?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's just, I think it's the biggest thing for him also is timing. I think you see how hard he runs. And I think really just knowing when to kind of put his pad level down and when to alter that going into defenders. Because there's also times where he can kind of be a high cut runner, and really kind of deceptive with his height, I think is really interesting. So yeah, I think he did improve throughout the season. Really kind of just impressive to see the production that he got, considering I don't think he was really technically the starter till like week 10. So I think including the playoffs, he's like, 1200 or 1100 total scrimmage yards right now. And you think about kind of the Chiefs and just Andy Reid loving to throw the ball around the yard right now. I think it also speaks volumes to just how much he trusts Pacheco already. This is kind of an offense that historically it takes rookies a lot of time to really kind of earn consistent playing time, consistent chances. So I think just kind of that mix with him and Jerick McKinnon, I think this is maybe the most comfortable that Andy Reid's kind of felt with any running back as far as with Patrick Mahomes.
And I guess one of the things we saw even in the AFC Championship game was using Pacheco kind of on outside runs, but also throwing him the ball. 13 catches during the regular season. So that idea of maybe also, you know, we trust him to run the football. We don't necessarily trust him, you know, to pass protect or to be out there running routes. But maybe that's something that also improves with year two. And maybe you can, you know, have easier runs inside with Pacheco if you show the ability to use him outside. And I you know, he's pretty fast too, so he can make those outside runs. And I wouldn't call him just a plotter, even though it seems like that's his strength, is to, you know, run north south, run through contact. But he's got the speed, pretty deceptive, like you were mentioning earlier. And I wonder if you showcase that, those ideas, makes it easier for him to run in the middle if the defense maybe anticipates, oh, they can throw screens to him or he can run outside.
Yeah, and I think that's, I guess, going into the Super Bowl, kind of going to be, I think, the biggest challenge, because they really struggled to run the ball against the Bengals, which I think Cincinnati was just really trying to stack the box early on, so they really didn't get it going. With the Eagles, I think their size and speed up front, it is going to be, I think, a big emphasis for the Chiefs to kind of get those jet sweeps going and kind of those outside stretch runs. I don't know if maybe Mahomes' ankle injury, we saw him kind of hopping on his leg in the end of the divisional round game. So I don't know if maybe that had an effect on less outside stretch zone runs in the conference championship, but I think they're going to have to at least attempt more outside runs against the Eagles, or it's just going to be a little bit more predictable for the Eagles defense in that game.
Of all the great talented players that were, you know, there in Championship Sunday on both games, really, like, you know, you think of, well, okay, well, you know, Brock Purdy has done amazing, but you think of the other three quarterbacks, Mahomes, Burrow, Hurts, and all the weapons that all four of those teams have between Kelsey, or, you know, you've got all pro players like Chase and you know, Higgins, Boyd, Hurst, look to the Eagles, Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Debo, and all the running backs that are on those teams, all this talent on offense. And I would argue the two best players in each of the AFC and NFC championship game were defensive players. Chris Jones for the Chiefs, I think, was the best player in that game. Mahomes is pretty impressive too, even on the ankle. But man, Chris Jones really did dominate, and I guess Spagnuolo didn't necessarily bring him too much. Like, it seems like that's something they've been doing a lot more this year, is playing him as a defensive end instead of just as a tackle, getting to the outside, and they seem to do that a lot this year. Didn't seem like they did that too much against the Chiefs until at the very end when they really needed it. So right. It's good to kind of save him for that. You know, you talk about situational football. That was kind of a situation where you'd want to put him in that scenario. And, you know, Chris Jones, probably the best player in the AFC championship game. I would say Hassan Reddick was the best player in the NFC championship game. So, and it's unfortunate with the Eagles, though, you can't just concentrate on Reddick, because they've got talent across the D-line and through their linebacking core. So I'm sure Reed and Bieniemy have their hands full.
Yeah, and it's something that, I guess, thinking back to the last time the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl and Todd Bowles just kind of really changing up his scheme from what they saw earlier in the year. For the most part, the Eagles aren't a team that relies much on extra pressure or bringing extra rushers. So it'll be interesting to see how much they maybe try to do that, especially with, I think, the speed they have really just throughout the whole defense. Avante Maddox as the slot corner, I think he can blitz. I think he's done it before a little bit with the Eagles, and I know he was kind of able to do that in college. And really, this is a linebacker room that just seems like they've gotten better and better with Philadelphia. TJ Edwards in the middle, I think, really stands out. So it'll be fascinating to see if Philly kind of alters to that extra rusher, you know, type of game plan, or if they're really going to still rely on really rushing four guys most of the game like they have most of this season. So. I think that's going to be interesting to see with 2 weeks to prepare.
Are any of these Chiefs offensive linemen part of the team that lost to the Buccaneers a couple years ago?
Let's see. I think I want to say Andrew Wiley was a backup, but I don't think he, from what I remember, I don't remember him playing in that game.
Yeah. Cause I was going to say, I don't think any of these five starters were the five starters that were there. Cause there would have been Fisher and Schwartz, I think, as the edge protectors. And that was, I think, before they signed Tooney and drafted Creed Humphrey. So I was thinking that too. I don't think any of these guys played in that game. So I think that's the one advantage is you've got a much more talented offensive line.
Yeah, and it's kind of a weird offensive line where I feel like they're almost better designed to be a run blocking team, but this is definitely an offense, obviously, that loves to throw the ball a lot more. So I feel like Orlando Brown Jr. is going to be a big X factor, a guy that doesn't handle speed very well. But I think both of the years he's been with the Chiefs, he's gotten better, I think, in the second half of the season. So the biggest challenge, I think, for him is just going to be, can he kind of, get to the proper landmarks and angles in his pass sets, and kind of if the Eagles are going to bring any extra pressure, are they going to try to overload to that blind side? I think he's going to be the one that I think is maybe going to hold the biggest question mark going into the Super Bowl. Andrew Wiley didn't have a great AFC championship game, a couple of penalties, but I think for the most part, he's been able to kind of react better to different styles of rushers, I think, more compared to Brown.
Not to pick on Wiley, but he would be kind of viewed as probably the weak link of the line. And not that he's a bad player. And I guess if he's your worst offensive lineman, that probably means it's a good line, because he could go to some team's offensive lines, Chicago, and maybe be the best player. So, it's not to pick on Wiley, but yeah, you're only as strong as your weakest link. And I think he's maybe, average for a right guard, maybe slightly below average.
Yeah, and I think it's really been interesting to see how he's stepped up sometimes against the toughest of competition. Is his college teammate Max Crosby, for the most part, has been held in check against him. So I think it's kind of been interesting to see him step up when he's either coming off a bad game or a bad stretch. So maybe that'll continue in the Super Bowl after a tough AFC Championship game. But it's kind of one of those guys where I think he's really vulnerable, I think, for being sometimes too high with his pad level, I think, is the biggest thing. And maybe that's where you see those penalties kind of creep up more than anything.
Now I want to speak about Steve Spagnuolo and what, his task is going to have to be, because, yeah, very talented defense, but also one of the best offensive lines in football. Really great receiving corps. I mean, just think of the three top options of A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert, and let alone all the running backs and how good that team is at running the football. Obviously, Jalen Hurts distributing to those weapons, but is a weapon himself. One thing that happened in that game was L'Jarius Sneed getting hurt. So I don't know if, a couple days later, if we have any expectations if he'll be ready for the Super Bowl. I know on the broadcast, they mentioned how they thought that might be a big blow. And frankly, I thought the Chiefs defense actually played well without Sneed. Yeah, there were times where, Tyler Boyd playing out of the slot was getting, Boy, I think more yards on two catches than he did all last year in the AFC Championship game. So, do you think, you'd obviously rather have Sneed than not, but do you think it's that significant of a deal against this Eagles team?
Yeah, I guess the biggest thing with Sneed is I think he's kind of a do-it-all player, where I think you can kind of rely on the rest of the secondary to be at least adequate in coverage. I think where Sneed's really missed is kind of the tackling in space. Spagnuolo, we know, is very good about kind of bringing those defensive back blitzes. I don't think there's really any other guy on this team that can do it as good as L'Jarius Sneed. So I know it was kind of reported that he's in concussion protocol, and maybe with 2 weeks he has a little bit better chance. But with the way that's kind of gone for teams this season, it's obviously never a guarantee when you're going to get them back. So I think it's more of just maybe the kind of just the do-it-all versatility that Sneed has. I think for the most part in coverage, you've seen guys like Trent McDuffie and Jalen Watson, I think, really get comfortable. So I don't know if it's maybe combating the pass is a bigger worry for losing Sneed. I think it's more just making sure kind of those fundamental stuff like tackling is really kind of held in check if you have him in the lineup.
It's interesting that you've explained it that way, because my initial instinct was his impact would be felt more against the Chiefs than it would against the Eagles, just because of how often they're playing with three wide receivers and just how pass heavy they are. But now the way you're talking about it, how good he contributes to the run game, we know how much the Eagles love to run and how the Bengals did seem like they really did struggle at running the football. Maybe it actually is more of an impact will be felt against the Eagles, especially you know, how often they play AJ Brown in the slot, and, you know, talk about a good guy tackling in space. AJ Brown's one of the best yards after catch receivers in the league. Like, that guy in space is great. So, you know, Snead is probably even going to have a tough task there, let alone whoever his backup is. So at first I was expecting your answer to be, no, it would have been a bigger impact in the Chiefs, but now I think you've convinced me that it probably is actually a bigger impact than maybe some are playing. So this will be huge to see if he can clear this concussion protocol.
Yeah. And I just think it's also going to be, I think, for, I think the biggest question or maybe biggest goal that Steve Spagnuolo is maybe going to face is, I think you almost have to sell out as much as you can to stop the run game, especially with the offensive line of the Eagles. So I don't mean that necessarily in a way that you're discrediting Jalen Hurts. I think obviously he's still very dangerous, but I think you can live with kind of mixing coverages like you have the last couple games, and still kind of playing heavy man coverage like Steve Spagnuolo likes to do. So I would kind of take your chances with you know, leaving guys on islands one-on-one. I think really, to me, it's you have to really stop the run game first and foremost, because this has probably been the best rushing attack all season long.
Yeah, I saw that the Eagles just tied a record set in 1924 for rushing touchdowns in a season, like regular and postseason combined. Obviously, there were no playoffs back in 1924. Well, maybe not obvious if you didn't know that, but yeah, I think the first NFL playoff game is like 1933 or something. So that would have been 38 rushing touchdowns in like 12 games, 11 games. So that's insane. Jeez. For the Yellow Jackets, who I'm not really sure what city they're in, but yeah, good job, Yellow Jackets. Hey, good job, 2022 Eagles. And I mean, all they need is one more rushing touchdown. You really think they're not going to get one rushing touchdown in the Super Bowl? That would be an incredible defensive performance by the Chiefs if they stopped them completely from running the ball into the end zone and forced them to pass. But yeah, as much as, you know, it's the NFL, you don't really want teams to be incredibly efficient at passing. It does seem like if you could stop the Eagles' run game and make them be one-dimensional, that might be the best way to beat them. Now, I guess by saying that and the emphasis on the run game, does that mean less blitzing? Because we know how much Spagnuolo loves to blitz. Or is it just simply, we're not necessarily going to blitz off the edge as much. We're going to do run blitzing as kind of a run slash pass rush blitzing. And maybe you're blitzing more from the middle to kind of take up those rushing lanes. Is that something he might do? Or is he just going to typical Spagnuolo all out pressures like always?
Yeah, I think the points you made about kind of the run blitzes is probably where I think they'll go. I think against the Bengals, what they did a lot of times was kind of these almost zone blitzes where the linebackers in the A or B gap would kind of drop back and almost spy. And I think against Jalen Hurts, I'd almost kind of expect that to continue, even with his shoulder injury. I mean, he was still running pretty hard and taking a lot of contact. So I think seeing how the Niners almost spied him a little bit too, I think Spagnuolo will probably try to take parts of that and piece it together. So yeah, I think it'll be kind of those run blitzes. And unless it's third down situations, third and long, I don't know if I'd expect as much all out blitzing in this game.
I would say, just on like the idea of Hurts' shoulder, I would argue it's probably a much bigger deal, Mahomes' ankle, than Hurts' shoulder at this point. The time since, you know, Mahomes got hurt at this point, what, a week and a half ago, whereas Hurts has been, this injury happened almost a month ago. So right. Maybe even over a month ago, actually. So it's one of those things where I think by this point he's okay. I guess, I can't remember when he got hurt, but I think he's had enough time to heal. I also think he looked really good this week. Not just running when he needed to, but also throwing the football. It looks like the shoulder hasn't affected his throwing motion. Not that, you know, before the season, he was never a high completion percentage anyway, but certainly the mechanics got there better this year and the throwing was a lot better. Didn't seem like the shoulder affected his ability to throw the football. So I would say at this point, even though, you know, Mahomes is still able to get it done and like at the end, get that run to get them into field goal range, you know, penalty helping them get more comfortable field goal range, but that might've been enough for Butker from there. And I think they would have still had time to, you know, another play to get through. But all to say, the ankle, it looked like it bothered Mahomes, but he was still able to play through it and do the things he needed to. But all that being said, I think that's the bigger concern than Hurts' shoulder at this point. I'd imagine, I almost actually forgot about it until you mentioned it. Like, I'm in my head, he's already fully healed. Like, I think through the two playoff games, he hasn't been on the injury report. So, I like, in my mind, it's if it's not 100%, it's 99% on his shoulder. So, I also wouldn't like, use that as a way to get bail out. Like the Chiefs, if they're going to play this, they got to play this well. And it's, you know, Hurts, as far as I'm concerned, isn't limited right now.
Yeah. And I guess the thing is, I think with the ankle, it can probably, I think, maybe be affected more at any moment necessarily on any given play, probably compared to the shoulder. I think it's just, you know, any type of small hit low or even just, you know, hitting, somebody's helmet. I think if he's out running in space, I think that's maybe a little bit more likely to maybe pop back up, so to speak, than if Hurts. I think basically with Hurts, it's almost you'd have to take a direct hit in a specific way. So yeah, I think that's definitely a good point.
And I guess the one thing with Mahomes is he could also, in theory, injure it just scrambling, like non-contact wise too. I guess that's kind of the fear. Whereas, because it hurts his shoulder, if he's scrambling a certain way, like, you know, he'll be more likely to hurt an ankle than it is to hurt the shoulder. So, okay. So yeah, the health of the quarterbacks at this point is almost a moot point. They're two of the best quarterbacks in the league. So I know I'm definitely looking forward to the game. I think we've covered both sides of the football well, but is there any aspect of either side of the Chiefs ball that we didn't cover that you'd like to add here?
Yeah, I guess maybe the biggest thing is it was really interesting to see how well the special teams did at the end of that Bengals game. I mean, because of all the injuries to receivers, Sky Moore had to do some punt returns, and he muffed some early in the season. So it was kind of hold your breath when he was back there. But to see, you know, the return he had to kind of set that up. And then even Butker went through a slump this season. So I don't know if the special teams are ever going to be, you know, a guarantee to always find success. So I think that's going to be something again, if there's another tight finish in the Super Bowl against the Eagles, the Chiefs, I think you're just going to have to be, you know, viewed as more of a wild card compared to the Eagles. I think for the most part, the Eagles have done pretty well from what I've seen on special teams this year. So I think just seeing how they do, if it's a tight game, that's something that's going to be, I think for Chiefs fans, holding your breath anyway.
I mean, traditionally, the Chiefs have always had excellent special teams, so it's one of those, expect that tradition to continue, I suppose.
Yeah, and Dave Tobe, I guess, he's kind of always been under the fire, it seems like, for a while. I think just with how long he's been with Reed, it's maybe just a matter of people getting tired of some of the things he does. I think, you know, just kicking the ball short sometimes on kickoffs and kind of allowing those long returns, little things like that, I think is what maybe some fans have almost gotten tired of. But yeah, I think if they can kind of get the same trust they got in the AFC Championship game, hopefully it's kind of like they've done in recent history.
Yeah, we'll never talk about kickers kicking it short here on the Full Press Packers Pod and complain about special teams. Oh, wait. Yeah, you all heard that speech a ton 2 years ago. But yeah, Packers kind of fixed their special teams this year. We didn't really talk about them much. It was good. Thank you, Rich Bisaccia. And thank you, Braden Holacek, for joining us. Again, check out the work at fullpresscoverage.com, at Full Press Chiefs. But is there anything else you'd like to plug? Anything specific you want to share with people now?
Not too much. No, I think just, I know Full Press NFL Podcast, I think me and Ian Glendon are probably going to try to do, hopefully, an episode every once in a while during the off season as well, to just kind of continue to get more content out there. And obviously him and John Sapicetti do a great job, FPC Radio Live, YouTube, Facebook, I guess wherever else you kind of get your podcast, they always do a great job kind of bringing up details from the NFL games or any other sports that sometimes not a lot of people are talking about. So it's always great to listen to them. A lot of Super Bowl articles coming out. I just had one on the Kelce brothers come out today. I'm probably going to have one about Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes tomorrow, obviously kind of making history, the first two black quarterbacks in Super Bowl history, and both Texas natives. So that's another fun headline to kind of write about coming out tomorrow.
For some reason, I always think he's from Minnesota, but yeah, his dad just pitched with the Twins. He wasn't born in Texas. Also, you can follow Braden on Twitter at BradenHolacek9. I'm
yep,
at Senra
that's
Says.
Correct. Yep, thank you.
Yeah, no problem, of course. I forgot to ask you to say it, so I thought I'd cover you there. But then, yeah, you can also follow the podcast on Twitter at FBC_Packers. And like I mentioned, in a couple weeks, we'll be back after the Super Bowl to kind of just recap this crazy 2022 season and prepare for the 2023 offseason. So we'll see you all next time on Full Press Packers Pod.
one.